The following message was preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church, Oak Harbor, Washington.
1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 9 to verse number 15. The Bible says, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." This morning I want to deal with one of the most important and basic needs of the Christian life, and that is our assurance of salvation. I want to speak on the subject of blessed assurance. You know, it has been my experience that most Christians at some stage in their Christian life will doubt their salvation, or at least will have questions over the fact of whether or not they are truly a child of God. And one of Satan's fiery darts that he would throw against us as the children of God is the fiery dart of doubt. He will try to get you to doubt whether you are saved. And let me say that when we doubt our salvation, when we lack that positive Bible-based assurance, that it has a devastating effect upon our life. Many Christians struggle with this for many years sometimes. And what that does, what doubt will do in your life, is effectually render you or disable you from doing anything for the Lord and from enjoying the eternal life that we have. For example, doubting our salvation will bring instability. The book of James tells us in James chapter 1 and verse number 8 that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If we are torn between am I saved or am I not saved, and we really cannot have any basis for an assurance of our salvation, we will be double-minded. And we'll go one way, then we'll go the other way. And as the Bible says, in our life and in our Christianity, we will be unstable. Another thing that happens when we doubt our salvation is that it robs our confidence in God. Am I a child of God or am I not? That makes a big difference. If you look back a page to chapter number 3 and verse number 19, there is one thing for certain, and that is that God wants us to have a full confidence in him and in his word. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 19, the Bible says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." And when we have confidence toward God, it will change our prayer life. If you'll notice back in the text that we read in chapter number 5, the Bible says in verse number 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Now, we cannot pray effectively if we're not certain about our salvation. We need that confidence in our life. So doubting our salvation will produce an instability, it will destroy our confidence in God, And I believe that it also will rob us of our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul wrote these words, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." Much assurance. And really, to have a good testimony before the world, we have to know that we're saved. We're not going to be able to speak for the Lord if we have doubts about our salvation. We'll never be victorious in our Christian life while we doubt our salvation. We'll never see answers to prayer. We'll never really be used of God, and we will not have the joy of the Lord that He intends for us to have when there are lingering doubts in our mind. Now, there is one thing that we need to establish and know for sure, this one thing, that God does not want you to go through your life doubting whether you are saved or not. In fact, the book of John, 1 John here, this epistle, the key words in the epistle of John are the word love and also the word know, K-N-O-W, know. And we've seen this word used already in the scriptures that we have read. 35 or more times in this epistle, the word know is found. God wants you to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are saved. You can know that you are saved, and God wants you to know. And it is vital for you as a Christian and for me as a Christian that the matter of our assurance is nailed down. Not only that we are sure that we are saved, but when those fiery darts come and Satan tries to get us to doubt, we also need to know how we can deal with those doubts that come. So this morning I want us to think about three things in this message. Number one, why do Christians doubt their salvation? I want to give you some reasons why people doubt. And some of these are from my experiences in dealing with people and talking with them, as well as from the scriptures. But I want us to think about why it is that people doubt their salvation. Number two, how can we know that we are saved? How can we know that we are saved? And then number three, how do we deal with doubts when they do come? So let's think about these for a few moments this morning. And first of all, the question, why do we doubt our salvation? Why is it that people doubt? Well, we've already mentioned that this is a tool of the devil. And the devil, the Bible tells us, he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If the devil can get you to doubt whether you are truly born again, then you will never amount to anything for the Lord. When you are saved, you are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. The devil has lost his hold over you. He can never get you back, but I'll tell you what, he will try to render you ineffective. He will try to defeat you if he can. And so he will use doubt many times to accomplish his purpose in our life. Now, I want to give you some reasons why people typically will doubt their salvation. And the first I think we need to address, and that is because we are not saved. Now, that seems pretty obvious, isn't it? That the fact that you are not saved, then how could you ever have assurance of salvation? If you've never been truly born again by the Spirit of God, the Bible way, if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you might try to make out like that is the thing that has happened in your life. You may put on the airs and the outward appearance of a Christian. You may attend church. You may sing the songs. You may read the Bible. You may do all the things that a Christian does, but you've never trusted Christ. We heard Hannah's testimony, how that was her testimony. As a young child, she knew what to do, and she knew how to act. But there was nothing on the inside, because salvation is a work of God in the heart of men. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, is it possible that I'm not saved? Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles, and we'll be looking at a number of scriptures today, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, I want you to see that it is even possible for church members, members of a Bible-believing Baptist church such as this church, it is possible that there could be, and I'm not saying there is, I certainly am not the judge, and I do not know the hearts of people, but the Bible tells me it is possible that there are unsaved church members. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, look at verse number 5, where Paul writes to the church and he says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Now this scripture tells us that first of all you can know if you're saved. All right? There's no doubt about that. It says, "Know ye not your own selves." There are two people who know for sure whether you are saved. One is the Lord himself and the other is you. And there ought not to be any doubt about that, but the Bible here indicates that it is possible that just as Judas Iscariot was a member of the first church and yet he was as lost as the devil, he had a devil, he was a son of perdition, he went through all the motions of being a Christian, he was a preacher, he was with Christ, he heard Christ, he saw what Jesus did and was numbered with the 12, but he was not saved. It is possible that there are unsaved church members. And so in considering our own salvation, that probably is a question we ought to settle. You say, well, how could that be? How could it be that I could be a member of a church, on the church roll, and thought of by everybody as being truly a child of God, and yet I'm not saved? Well, the Bible speaks about those who are professors, but not possessors. They profess that they know him, but in works they deny him. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, the Bible talks about those who would say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" And Jesus will say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You see, it's not about knowing about Christ that is important. It's knowing Christ in our heart. And too many people have it up here in the head. They can give you the answers and all of the things that they've learned in their home and in Sunday school. They can tell you about the Bible. But they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And then in the parables that Jesus gave, you'll remember the parable of the soils. And there in Matthew chapter 13, the Lord spoke about the shallow ground. And the seed of the Word of God sprung up and there was a joy. But because there was no root, the plant withered away. And I liken that to someone having a shallow emotional experience where they are stirred up perhaps by what they see going on around them, or perhaps they've come to a crisis in their life and so they've made some profession of faith and for a while they're experiencing a joy, but there's never a deep root that goes down and takes a hold and they wither away. And we know people like that who have made professions of faith and now where are they? They're certainly not in church or in serving God or anything like that. So these are some of the things that the Bible teaches, and as an unsaved church member, you could never experience the assurance of salvation if you're honest with yourself. So that's one reason, but as far as Christians are concerned and the genuine doubts that we do have from time to time, let me give you some other reasons. One reason would be because we are resting on our feelings. We are resting on our feelings. In fact, I would say that this is probably the number one reason why most Christians doubt their salvation. Why? Because they do not feel saved. They do not feel saved. But you know, the problem with feelings is that they are tied to circumstances. And, you know, I think we've all experienced it to some degree in our life when everything is going along well and the money's coming in and the health is good and the sun is shining and we've got a place to go and work and all of these things that we want in life are all in place. We think, isn't God good? Isn't God wonderful to me? I know that I'm saved because I'm so blessed. But then when the times of adversity come and when the money is short at the end of the month and when we're in danger of losing our job and when our health fails and it seems like that darkness and gloom has settled on our life, if we are basing our relationship with God upon how we feel, then we're likely to say, well, I don't know if I'm saved because all of this is happening. And that's the problem with feelings. Feelings will take you on a roller coaster ride. You'll be up and you'll be down. And we live in a feelings-oriented society, don't we? I mean, it's all about feelings these days. We've got to make people feel good about themselves and so forth. But I'll tell you, you think of the Apostle Paul as an example, and his life was up and down, and he said in the book of Philippians that he knew how to abound and he knew how to be abased. And he said, in all of that I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. The God who saved your soul will keep you in the good times, and he'll keep you in the bad times. But too often we are feelings based in our assurance of salvation. And I think that's one reason why many times Christians doubt their salvation. Well, another reason is because we have become slack in attending to the things of the Lord. You know, we can become slothful in our service for God. It's interesting that you look out in the congregation and you can almost tell by the countenance of people and by how quick they're out the door, getting home, away from this place, you know, as their relationship with God goes. Christians who are doing something for the Lord are generally excited, and they just want to be around God's people and stick around, and they really have a great assurance of salvation. But when we start drifting off and we give up this ministry and we just basically become pewers and not doers, a lot of times we start having doubts. And we can become slothful. The book of Hebrews chapter number 6 addresses this. In Hebrews chapter number 6, you might want to just turn over there. The Bible talks about the connection with full assurance and serving God. The Bible says in verse number 11 and 12, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." You know, a lot of times if you're doubting your salvation or you feel like your relationship with Jesus Christ is distant, what you need to do is get busy serving him. There is joy in serving Jesus. Then if you look over in Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible talks about assurance here, and I think here is the relationship we have in coming to church. You know, if you are here every opportunity, every time the doors are open, and you're not providentially hindered, you can be here in church. It will help you in your walk with the Lord. In verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Now that wavering is really doubting my salvation. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For he is faithful that promised. God does not change. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You know, I cannot say enough for being faithful to the house of God. Now, I understand some of you have to work, you have duty, you have things that take you away from the house of God. But if you're sitting at home watching television on a church night, that's a sin. And you are harming yourself, and you are weakening that bond, that connection you have with the Lord. And many times people who become slack in their salvation, and we go after them and we say, come on, brother, what's holding you up? What's keeping you from church? And, well, I'm not sure if I'm saved. That's the end result of that. Here's another reason, because we have sinned. Proverbs 14, verse 14 tells us, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." Now, the Lord saved us from our own ways, did he not? He saved us out of a life of sin, but, you know, we can backslide. Backsliding means you go back to some of the things that God saved you from. And Christians can backslide. And we're filled with our own ways. It may be God saved us from a life of cursing. We backslide, we let fly with a few curse words. Maybe God saved us out of drinking, and we backslide, and we take some alcohol or something, that we go back to the old ways. And the devil loves that, because he comes along and he says, aha, see, how could you possibly be a child of God? Look, what you're doing those same things that you claim he saved you from. And the devil will work on us and work on us till he gets us to doubt whether we are truly saved. You know, doubt is his great tool here. And many times we sin and we get away from the Lord, and instead of doing what the Bible says of confessing our sin and making right with God, as he gives us that opportunity, we allow the devil to defeat us with doubts. And then one other reason that we can doubt our salvation is because we have been beguiled. We can fall prey to false teaching. Look in the book of Colossians, if you would, Colossians chapter 2. Here, as Paul wrote to the believers in this particular church, he was concerned about their spiritual state. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 2, he said that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Jesus and of Christ, in whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. You know, there are many people who believe, because they've been beguiled, that you can never know for sure if you are saved. There are people today, if you talk to them about their soul and about eternal life, they will tell you, well, you can never know if you're really saved until you get to face God. Well, that is totally unscriptural. There are these heresies out there that cause us to doubt our salvation. Now, look back in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13. And this verse really ought to silence that kind of thinking. In verse number 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. There are people today who think if you said something like that, I know that I'm saved. I know that I have eternal life. I know that when I die, I'll be with the Lord forever in heaven. And they'll say, well, you are presumptuous. How can you possibly say something like that? Well, we don't say it because of who we are. We say it because of what God said. And God has told us these things are written. This Bible that you hold in your hand or have on your lap right now, God has put it here so that you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, that you are truly saved. In John 10 and verse number 28, Jesus gave us that wonderful promise, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never perish. So these are some of the reasons why I believe that Christians can doubt their salvation. Number one, because they're not really saved, and that's a serious matter. Number two, because we are basing our assurance of salvation on the wrong thing. It's on how we feel. And I don't know, in any congregation this size, probably a good portion of you woke up on the wrong side of the bed today. And if you were to measure your salvation on how you feel today, you'd probably say, well, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm in a bad mood, or things aren't going right for me. And I'm just not on speaking terms with God. Well, we don't base our assurance on how we feel. It may be because you've just been slacking off in the things of God, and you're no longer serving the Lord like you should, and you've lost that fire in your heart to be close to the Lord. I mean, those are things that will allow the devil to have a foothold in your life. Well, the second question I want us to think about is not why is it that we can doubt our salvation, but how can we know that we are saved? How can we know? Now, we can know. We've already pointed out in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you. So let it be clear in our minds, you can know if you're saved. It's not something that you have to wait until death and then to see which way you're going to go. It is a settled matter, and you can know it. You can examine your own self, the Bible says, and you can know for sure. So the question is, how? How is it that we can know? Well, is it something that we have to talk ourselves into? I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And we come up with all kinds of things like grasping at straws to cling to convince ourselves that I'm saved. Is that what we have to do, or do we have to rely upon our parents' recollection? I've heard young people say, well, I know I'm saved because my mom told me I prayed a prayer when I was 5 years old. Well, what if your mom wasn't clear in her recollection? I mean, we cannot rest upon what mom said or what dad said or what the preacher said or anybody else for that matter. Do I have to get to some exhilarating plateau in my spiritual life and just say, oh, God just did something wonderful in my life and I'm clinging to that experience or that feeling that I had one day? Well, it doesn't happen every day, does it? There are good days and bad days as far as circumstances are concerned. And if you're basing your assurance of salvation on a revival that came to your heart or some great answer to prayer, that God revealed himself mighty as he is, and you're clinging to that one thing, you're hanging on to the wrong rope. Well, maybe you think, well, I have to get that fire burning in the soul and then pray it doesn't go out. And as long as I can keep on that higher ground plateau, then I'll have assurance. But, oh, woe betide me if I slip and fall into the ditch and maybe do something that is not scriptural or not right as far as God is concerned. These are some of the things that people come up with. How do you know that you can be saved or you are saved? Well, the answer is found in the Word of God. Look at verse number 12 back here in 1 John chapter 5. It's very, very simple. It's an equation that you can put yourself into. He that hath the Son hath life. Simply ask yourself this question: do I have the Son? Have I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? He that hath the Son, God said, you have life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Couldn't get much clearer than that, I wouldn't think. God has made it very, very simple. Do you have the Son? Did you receive Jesus Christ the Bible way? Now, the Bible says that he is in our faith, in our heart, I should say. And we receive Christ into our heart by faith. John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you know that. You know that time when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, the Bible says that we, in verse number 13, that we must believe on the name of the Son of God, not believe in. There's a big difference between believing in God, for the devils believe, and they tremble. You can believe in God, you can believe about God, you can believe that Jesus was real, that he lived, you can believe he died on the cross, you can believe he even rose again. But have you put your faith on him? Have you cast your whole eternal existence on the finished work of Jesus Christ, that he died and was buried and rose again? Have you done that? Not a head knowledge, but a heart acceptance. The Bible says that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it is according to the Bible. The Bible is the basis of our assurance of salvation. Why? Because it's God's unchanging word. Feelings will change. You know what I'm talking about here. Good days, bad days. Good moods, bad moods. Good things, bad things. Everything changes on a daily basis, but the Word of God never changes. It is the same as it was when it was written. And look at verse number 8, in verse number 9, the Bible says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And the Word of God is that one fixed benchmark upon which we can base anything in our life, and especially we can base our salvation and our assurance of salvation. It is the title deed to your salvation. In verse number 11, this is the record. God has put your salvation in writing. This is the record. that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now, let me give you an illustration. A little while ago, we had a wedding here in the church, and Chris and Anna were married. And one of the things that they were given was a marriage certificate. And there's the legal kind that gets sent off to the county, and there's the non-legal thing that they can have with them. But suppose one day Anna said to Chris, "You know, I don't know if I'm married to you. I have doubts about my marriage." Now, Brother Chris would say, "But Anna, I love you and I provide for you." And he'd give all kinds of reasons why they are married, but she, for some reason, says, "No, I really don't think I'm married to you." Now, how's he really going to prove it? If he has to, he goes down to the office at the county offices and he says, "Can I have a copy of what's in writing?" And they'll pull it out and they'll have it all signed there with the witnesses and my signature. There it is in writing. "See, Anna, we are married." Now, of course, I understand in a human relationship, we don't normally have to go that far. But if we needed to, that is the ultimate authority. It is in writing. And God has put our salvation in writing. So whether you feel like you're saved or you feel like you're not saved, that's not the issue. It is what has God said. And God said, "He that hath the Son hath life." Not maybe has life or hopes to have life, but whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is very plain and very direct when it comes to the issue of salvation. And you can know it because God has put it in writing. Our salvation has to be Bible-based. And any time the devil comes along and whispers doubt into your ear, all you need to do is say, "It is written." And we know what happens when you confront the devil with those words. He turns and he'll flee from you. Now, there are some tests that you can apply to answer or support the fact of your salvation. These are biblical tests, and we might call them evidences of salvation. You know, the Bible says, "By their fruits you shall know them." And certainly, if you have been truly saved, there will be evidence of what God has done in your life. Why? Because the Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new." Let me give you some of these very quickly. There is the test of obedience. In 1 John chapter 2 and verses 3 through 5, the Bible says, "And hereby we do know that we know him." That's assurance. "If we keep his commandments, he that saith, 'I know him,' and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." So here's a simple test. Do you obey the word of God? Do you follow what the Lord wants you to do? Now, the Bible doesn't say that we will always do that or always be perfect, but certainly our heart's desire is to obey the Lord. And I think there's something wrong when a professing Christian who knows what the Bible says refuses to do what the Bible says. You know, when it comes to some of the simple things about following the Lord in baptism or giving to the Lord the tithe or being faithful into the house of God. Things that the Bible commands us to do and we just have no interest. Now, we all struggle with these things in our life. I understand the difference between struggling with obeying God and just flat not interested in obeying God. You know, sometimes people make a profession of faith and you say, "Well, now you need to come to church and start getting involved in the teaching and preaching of the Word of God." "I'm not going to church." "Well, you just got saved." "Yeah, but I can be a Christian and not go to church." That's a strange scripture. I haven't found that one in the Word of God yet. And it has to do with our attitude. But the Bible says you can know that you are saved because you obey the commandment of Christ, and his commandments are not grievous. There is the evidence of the Spirit. The Bible says that every true believer is indwelt by the Spirit of God from the instance of salvation. And the Holy Spirit manifests himself in a number of ways. First of all, there's the inner witness. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God." How does the Holy Spirit bear witness with our spirit? Well, he's the Spirit of truth. And as you read the Scriptures, coming out loud and clear as you go through the Bible is the witness of the Spirit of God to your spirit. Yeah, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. The Word of God through the Spirit of God will confirm what God has done. Then there is the outer fruit. There's the inner witness, the outer fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and all of those fruit that God will work in your life. You ought to be able to see changes in your life. Now, we understand that when you plant a fruit tree, it doesn't pop out with fruit the next day. It takes time, it takes cultivating, that's discipleship. But the fruit will be evident. And by their fruits you shall know them. There is the evidence of love. 1 John 3 and verse 14. Hereby do we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You know, someone who claims to be a Christian but doesn't care for God's people, something wrong there. Again, we're not the judge, but the Word of God would indicate that if you are truly born again, that you will love God's people. And it's amazing, and some of you have this testimony that as you were saved in one lifestyle, God has been pulling you out of that and you've become more and more into the church lifestyle. And the old friends are kind of fading away and the new friends are those who love the Lord. That's normal. That's an evidence of salvation. Then there is the evidence of holiness. The Bible says that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. That's in 1 John 5:18. A lot of people say, well, hang on, I'm born of God and I've sinned. Well, it's talking about the new nature that we have made partakers of. And that which is born of God, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. We have problems with the flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit cannot sin. And so as a Christian with that new life within us, though we do sin, we don't want to sin. And I think that's an evidence there. Christians have that desire to do right. And when they sin, not if they sin, but when they sin, it really bothers them. That testimony from Hannah spoke well to that. And the Bible makes provision for that in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin. So the Bible even teaches us that as Christians, we will sin because of the old nature that we still carry around. And if any man sin, he hath an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. But there is that evidence of a desire to live holy for the Lord. And then lastly, there's the evidence of chastisement. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 and verse number 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And if you find in your life that you can go out and sin and nothing happens, God doesn't seem to bother you, there's a big serious doubt about your salvation. Because God's not going to let his children wander too far before some chastisement will come into your life. It may be just a gentle push back and the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Or it may be some going out to the spiritual woodshed and getting a whipping from the Lord. I don't know what it is, but as a Christian, we just cannot live unto ourselves anymore. And we know that God cares for us. So we can know, you can know for sure that you were saved. So the last question then is, how do we deal with doubt? Because I said at the beginning of this message that most of us, if not all of us, at some stage in our life, we have doubted or questioned whether we are truly saved. Now, if that's not you, praise God. But I'll tell you, I think the common experience is that we do have doubts. And those doubts will come when we are vulnerable to them. The devil is looking for that chink in the armor of God where he can land the fiery dart. And we say, oh, you know, I did something, I know it's not right. Could it be I'm not saved? Or I missed going to church this Sunday and, I don't feel close to God anymore. Maybe it's because I'm not saved, and the devil uses that. Well, how do we deal with doubt? Well, first of all, we need to understand and see doubt for what it is. Doubt is the opposite to belief. And so doubting is unbelief. It's when we do not believe what God says in his word. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. Our assurance of salvation must be based upon the Word of God. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, we are to walk and live our Christian life by the book, not by what the circumstances that we see around us are dictating. Our salvation is, or our assurance of salvation is, when we live by the book. We are saved through faith, and we are assured the same way. That's why here in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe." Written. It's been put down in writing so that any time we doubt, we can pull that Bible off the shelf and open it up, and we can hear the wonderful words of life and be assured by the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God, that yes, I know I'm saved. Not because I feel it, not because I'm willing it, not because I want it or because I've been told it, but because God shows me in His Word. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ, and we are assured the same way by faith. So the only way to really deal with doubt is to go back to the Word of God. Someone put it this way: feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My hope is in the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Faith is the victory. When you allow the Word of God to be the light of your life, you will have a victorious Christian life. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 instructs us as Christians, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And the Roman shield usually was a large shield. It was big enough that a man could actually hide behind. When the arrows were shot from the enemy, you've probably seen illustrations of ancient battles, and many times before the two armies would clash man to man, there would be a hail of arrows that would be fired. And the Roman shield was big enough for a man to hide behind. Well, we have the shield of faith. And any time an arrow or a fiery dart comes from the devil, kind of like that, except we're not using the Bible as a literal book, but we're using the words of God. And our assurance and our faith can be strengthened in God's Word. Faith pleases, but when we doubt continually, it becomes a sin. The Bible says in Romans 14:23, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." And many times it is a sin to doubt our salvation when we refuse to believe what God says in His Word. So it all comes down to the question, who do you believe? Do you believe yourself or your feelings? Do you believe what the devil tells you, or do you believe what God says? 1 John 5 and verse 9, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater." So it's not a matter of this church telling you you're saved. It's not a matter of me telling you you're saved. You need God to tell you. And when you rely upon His Word, you won't have doubts. And if you do have doubts, just go back to the Word of God. Now, every Christian is likely to have doubts at some point. We do, from time to time, lack assurance. If you haven't yet, you probably will. So the question really is, what will you do about it? Will you take God at His Word, or will you go through life never having a deep, abiding assurance of your salvation? Now, it may be that this morning, as I've been preaching along these lines, that you have suddenly realized, you know, my problem is I've never really been saved. We talked about that at the beginning. And the realization that you are not saved has not come about because you don't feel saved, but because you've come to the understanding that there never has been a time in your life when you turn from your sin and turn in faith to Jesus Christ. Salvation, I look back over decades now, and yet I can still remember the day I got saved. I can put myself there. It's kind of like a fish story. There's probably a few details that have become a little different or whatever, but I know when I was saved. And some of you, you can remember, maybe it's a little bit of a blur. But I'll tell you, on their wedding day, it was probably a blur for Anna and Chris. Usually is for the couple, but they remember the day. And maybe they don't remember what song was sung or who said what or what happened at a certain point in the ceremony, but they remember that they said, "I do." You can remember that. You don't have to remember the date. Some people say if you can't write down the date that you were saved, that, well, you can't be saved. It's not a matter of that. Do you remember getting saved? Do you remember the day when you came to Christ as a sinner and acknowledged that you deserved hell and you trusted Christ? Because if you don't have that, you don't have salvation. You need to receive Christ as your Savior.
The preceding message was preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church, Oak Harbor, Washington. You can find additional information about the church and our publications ministry on the web at bbcoakharbor.org. For further assistance with specific questions, please feel free to give us a call at area code 360-675-8311. Thank you for listening. Our prayer is that you receive the blessing from the preaching of God's Word.